Okay, so whenever you're ready.
Thank you. I had something the other day happen where I witnessed an emotion, and I could, or a thought of, I don't want this, and I felt the emotion, then I came to stillness. And then there was a part of me that went, oh, but I quite kind of, there was a vividness about the emotion. And my question is, at what point is an emotion like it's good to feel and it's good to have the kind of strong experiences in that way? And I was like, but that's, I suddenly thought, oh goodness, am I supposed to just throw everything out? And I suppose it's like, yeah, what is it? I suddenly thought, what am I trying to do? Like, what is, that is it that it's more like the negative things? And I'm sure if I sit and sit and sit, I'll understand the kind of the difference of what feels kind of healthy or something, and what, whether it's sitting and watching the things, and it's that fluidity of choice. And yeah, I just would love to hear that, because I can feel my mind going, what is that? And I thought, if I just share that, I'd love, yeah, I don't know what that is really, but
For me, there was a wonderful thing that happened when I started to just be with emotions. And I began to realize that I'd never really experienced them. It might sound like a strange thing to say that, you might have heard me said I had fear my entire life. I pretty much remember, but I recognized one day that I'd never really experienced it, fear, just fear, that I'd always experienced what I thought about the fear. So that, the feeling would come up and there'd be immediately all these projections around it, these ideas around it. Oh, this is going to be awful. It's going to go on for so long. And this is, I've got to go to work in a minute. How am I going to do that when I'm feeling this way? And I'd never really just felt it, but never really just felt the emotion in its intensity. Never just let it take over my body. Never really, I wouldn't say welcomed it, because it's hard to welcome something that feels like that, but never really gave it permission to exist inside me. And when I started to do that, it was so much the opposite of what mine said. There was actually something that kind of really there was a deep intimacy with that emotion, and it was different. It was different. It's not, oh, here's, I'm scared again. Here's more fear that I've got to work through. It was, here's how I'm showing up in this moment as this fear. And it was a totally different experience. And I found that I could really allow the intensity of it much more, the fullness, the waves, because it kind of came in waves of intensity and then would seem to recede for a while and then come again. So just actually experiencing that emotion as the self was a totally different thing, and it was almost enjoyable. There was a deep peace, a deep contentment, a sense of there's nothing I need to do with this. It's just here. And if it hangs around for a while, maybe I'll question it. If I can't seem to just let it be, I'll question the belief, which I did a lot of with fear. But even the questioning was a kind of openness that just allowed me to feel the emotion. I can see, is this true? I'm not safe. No, it's not really true at all. And in that, I could just allow the emotion to be. I wasn't trying to get rid of anything. Perhaps the first time in my life, I wasn't trying to get rid of my something out of my experience or trying to get something. I wasn't trying to do anything with the moment at all. And it was just very different. I don't know if you kind of had an experience of that to some degree, at least.
Yeah, it reminds me, yesterday I was going to work, and I suddenly thought, oh, I'm feeling nervous. And I thought, I'm just gonna, oh, how to be with this. And I kind of, I don't, yeah, I just thought, oh, I just was aware of it. And within that, I think that's maybe a similar, yeah, like I just was with it. And then it kind of sweetly wandered off. I don't know, that was that, it kind of dissipated. But I
It
was
can't
also,
hang around in that. It can't, because all lower frequencies, which is what emotions are on their own journey back to the light. They're on their own journey. They're trying to go back to peace. But when we resist it or think about the emotion, that's a subtle way of resisting the emotion, then it can't transmute itself. Maybe our body is actually a transmuting factory. So if I just feel this, it's actually going to change and lighten by itself. It's going to enlighten by itself. And when I really got that, it was totally different. That I just need to show up for it. I just need to give it permission somehow. And that doesn't necessarily have to be done while I'm sitting down. I can go about my day. But I've never really, it sounds crazy, I've never really felt an emotion before. I'd always only experienced what I thought about the emotion. Oh, this is going to be terrible. It's going to overwhelm me. It's going to overpower me. And I really saw the difference in just feeling it. Yes, it was intense, but it was a very different experience. It was, and I began to ask, you know, how does the silence interact with this thought, with this emotion, this? And it's not doing anything, is it? It's just deeply listening, the silence. It's just kind of intelligently, silently listening to all of life in a real intimate way. Or awareness, we could say, is just watching, not getting involved at all. And can begin to become more like the field, the awareness of silence in that moment.
There was a point where I think it was maybe grief I was feeling, and then it kind of did the same. It kind of met itself, and then and I felt a bit robbed. I was like, but I don't know, I think there's something about emotion as well, where there's a fullness and a life fullness, you know, and a kind of humanity to it. And I was a bit like, oh, so I thought, oh goodness, is everything just going to keep plateauing? And in a way I'm not. And that, I suppose that was the question, in a way, to think, well, is that always emotion is to then be written? Do you know what I mean? Like,
our experience becomes very, everything dissipates in that love, doesn't it, in the field. Everything dissipates. That's a lower frequency. It's immediately turned into a higher frequency. And maybe it's not the emotion that we're missing if it just dissipates. Maybe it's the feeling alive, something going on in us. But that those lower frequencies are quite quickly replaced by the feeling alive, just aliveness itself. I don't need to feel alive because I'm going through something. I'm just alive. I'm here. And there's this radiant presence that's more and more noticeable that is the aliveness itself, isn't it? Kind of, we've been looking to our experience, whatever I'm experiencing, to make me feel alive. More that's just more and more. I'm just here and I'm enjoying the fullness of this moment, whatever that looks like. I don't know what it's going to look like, but it looks like this right now. And that deep intimacy with life is what we've really been missing. Yeah, so we don't need to necessarily have the ups and downs. In fact, our experience can become very level and harmonious, but gradually increasing every day, feeling better and better and better in the body mind without these massive highs and lows that come with experiencing as a separate being. And you kind of get a taste of that. It's very addictive in a very nice way. Does that help you?
Yeah, thank you, that's great. Oh yeah.
good. Okay, Rory, when you're ready. Excuse me.
Hi, Helen. Thank you for all of this. It's so lovely to be hearing it all. I think this will probably be a quick question, really, and it's just about distinction between, if there is one, which I know ultimately there isn't, between contemplation and kind of the lesson one practice. I think earlier in this session, you said something around how contemplation is really just designed to bring you back into the space of tuning into the noumenon.
Yeah.
Just in kind of my early experiences with your offerings so far, I found tuning into the noumenon to be this lovely thing for the body, as you said, you know, it's like, oh wow, nice. And I've tried contemplation and I haven't quite hit the nail on the head yet with its effects or whatever. And, it, you know, I guess the question is something around, if contemplation is designed to bring you back to tuning into the noumenon, would it be best just to tune straight back into the noumenon if I can do that, not saying I can all the time, but I mean, instead of asking a question, would it be okay just to go, okay, well, you know, there's all that, but I'm going to just, you know, focus on this space now instead, or tune into it.
Oh, absolutely. If you can just drop whatever's going on emotionally, the story, if you can just drop it and step away from it and go back to the noumenon, then great. It's the most direct way. For most of us, we all have some places where we just can't do that or can't seem to do that.
Oh, I definitely have those places. Yeah.
So if I'm contemplating, is this thing true? It's going to bring me back to a place where I'm not suffering, but it might not feel as rich and as full as tuning in as in lesson one at first, because we still might have a lot of energy tied up in this belief. Mm. So as we gradually keep contemplating, the amount of energy that we're investing in this idea and therefore the experience that comes with it, it is going to diminish, and therefore that comes back to peace.
Right.
You can feel you're sat there in meditation, everything's just amazing, and then something happens in our outside world and we feel very different. Definitely. Because so much energy has gone to this idea over and over again, hasn't it? It's been very popular inside us.
Yeah, great, thank you.
Really good, helpful. Good, lovely. Okay, would anyone else like to ask a question or to share something? Had a long session so far, but hopefully it's been worth it. If there aren't, oh, there we go. Okay, Muriel. You're still muted there.
Okay, is that better?
Yes.
Is it a case of the mind eventually coming to surrender? Because this egoic mind just keeps playing on, and there's always this battle of seeking peace. And we keep asking the same questions, and you so beautifully keep answering us, and you have the patience to keep answering us. But where's the tipping point? Does it eventually just happen, and then you onto the other side, so to speak?
It's very rare that it's a sudden happening. More and more, it's just that the mind has less and less relevance in what it's saying. What it's saying to us has less and less relevance. So as I see myself again and again to be that which isn't affected by anything, that which is before everything, as I see that I'm already looking from that place, it becomes clearer that anything that mind is saying, anything that my ego is obsessing over, is irrelevant to me, because it's talking about a journey that I don't need to make. You know, it's talking about a journey to get back home that I don't even need to make, because I'm already looking from that place. That gets clearer and clearer. So if I could find my mind now, it would probably still be saying the exact same things. But the difference is that it just became less and less important. At first, it's our only resource, isn't it? It's our go-to library for information, how to deal with every situation in our life, especially awakening. How do I deal with that? How do I do that? But as the self, the more that we see what we really are, the less any of that has any relevance. Mm-hmm. You begin to really, as that gathers momentum, it's not that we're pushing mind away or overtly listening to it. It's just not relevant. So if you were going to learn Spanish and I give you a book on French, you wouldn't shout at the French book and go, you're wrong, you're bad, you should go away. It's just, this isn't the right book for me. This isn't the right tool. More and more, mind is just kind of viewed from that place. It's talking from its viewpoint in duality in time and space about that which is beyond time and space and infinite and non-dual. So how could it possibly really have anything of relevance to say to me as the self? That is kind of the ultimate position we end up in. But without the ego can mimic that, but it says, right, therefore mind should just go away and shut up. Why isn't it shutting up yet? Why isn't it stopped talking? You know? But the self doesn't really care in that way, does it? It's like the sky isn't running around chasing all the raindrops saying you shouldn't fall over here, you should fall over there, don't do this, don't, you know. It's the sky just doesn't care in that way. Whatever's going on inside is just whatever's going on inside. So the self, it just becomes less and less relevant. First mind is right here, isn't it, talking right to us, And eventually it's just some guy whispering in the corner of the room that you can barely hear. And you're like, you what? What did he say? And then the difference between those is how much our identity has shifted into knowing that we are that self, which is why we always start with the basic foundation, which is tuning into the self. The more I experience my real nature, the clearer it will be that whatever mind is saying is just simply not true. Mm. And I don't need to do anything about it.
Yes. So, and also in terms of activity, if we suddenly find, like what happened to me yesterday, I was in a busy Zoom meeting for work and my lunch was going to be delivered to my door, and I'm in the second floor apartment. And I'd given very clear instructions, you know, where
just like I had with those two parcels that came. Yeah.
And of course, I say to the people in the meeting, excuse me for 3 minutes, I need to sort something out. And then I couldn't find him. He had gone to the totally wrong place. And then, you know, it was so clear for me, the instructions that I'd given. And then when he eventually started coming with the delivery, he was plodding along the road, nobody's problem. I went, come on, you know. And then of course, you know, when he came, I like pointed up there, can't you see it's number 147? And I went into a rage. It was so unnecessary. And as I came up the stairs, I felt so much guilt, like, how could I go off like that? You know, it's he's innocent, actually. And so when we fall into that trap, because obviously in that moment I wasn't conscious, should we just let it go? Because one can go on to another trip with that, you know. You know, is it my hormones? Where's the anger coming from?
Why did this
I should happen? Have done that? You know, oh my God, look at me. I'm trying to awaken and I'm like a raving bitch troll from hell, you know. So it's like absolutely I'm also facing the fact hormonally I am challenged, you know. I'm in menopause and it does have a physical impact. Yeah. So it's hard to manage my overreactivity with the beliefs, the hormones, the whole trip, you know. And
the hormones, though, are the effect, the mirror image of the belief. So the belief, what's the belief here? The body is outside the glass as far as the self is concerned. So what we're experiencing in our body, our hormones, etc., are the effect of the mirror image of this belief. And it might be something very sneaky, like when anger comes up, it's impossible to control. You know, it's going to overwhelm me, something like that.
Yes. It does sometimes feel like that I get out of control.
So we have that exact experience that mirrors what we're believing. Therefore, we keep on fearing the anger when it comes up because it's just going to explode. You know, somebody cuts in front of us in traffic and, you know, from zen to, you know, something very different.
I'm sure there's, you know, with the conditionings of what how females should behave, there is so much suppression, you know.
Especially when you look at the things around, of course, menopause is a real thing, but there are so many beliefs about it that it's got to be long, it's got to be difficult, it's got to be, you know, you could say that about any situation that we're going through, awakening itself. To look at what you're believing about it. Why can't it just be, you know, it happens and you hardly notice it? Are we really, there's a lot of beliefs that we have as human beings that we never question, such as, do I necessarily have to deteriorate with age?
Right.
Then do I necessarily have to get 8 hours sleep a night? You know, there's so many areas of normal everyday living that we're conditioned to think a certain way, situations, especially around the body. In that way.
Yes, 100%. Thank you for that. Thank you.
Good to talk to you. Okay. Anyone else like to ask? We've got time for probably one more. If there is any more questions. Okay, so we will leave it there for today then. And recordings will be uploaded to the same place later. Thank you all for your intelligent questions and keep on keeping on. You're doing amazing. And I hope you will let my voice be just as influential as your mind's voice that probably tells you the opposite. And I will see you all on Sunday if you can make it live for lesson 3. Thank you. Namaste.
Thanks, Helen.
Bye. Thank you, Helen.
Very, very well.
Thanks, Helen.